Hello?
Hello.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, excellent.
Are you prepared, or what kind of emotions do you expect to have when you walk on the field?
What kind of emotions? Just excited to get the season started, to be honest with you. Just excited to get the season started and, you know, leave that stadium with a W so our flight back can be enjoyable.
Have you spoken much with some of the Vikings defensive players over the off season about how eager they are to face you and how strange that might be?
Yeah, you know, Tom Johnson and Daniil Hunter, those guys worked out. They worked out with me down in Houston. And we had Trey Wayne. He came down for a couple of days as well. So we kind of talked about it a little bit, really didn't get into, you know, the too much details. I think we've been around each other long enough to kind of expect what it's going to be like, you know, going against each other. So it really wasn't really talked about in detail like that. But I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to playing against those guys, Everson Griffin, B. Rob, you know, Limbaugh, Barr, all those guys, Harrison, Sendejo, all those guys, man. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
You got any specific goals for Monday night for you personally?
Yeah, you know, just contribute, you know, and, you know, do my job, man, to the best of my ability and, you know, leave that field with a W. You know, that's the ultimate goal is, you know, getting a W. So, you know, if that's catching the ball and, you know, making big plays, running the ball, making big plays, you know, whatever they ask me to do. You know, I want to make sure I put my best foot forward and accomplish that, you know, to help us get towards this W at the end of the game.
Adrian, what kind of reception do you think you'll get from fans when you walk in there Monday night?
I think it'll be a warm, welcoming, you know, reception. You know, I don't see why it would be any other way. You know, I've, you know, 10 years, you know, played there and, you know, a lot of good memories there, and you know, being the face of the franchise for so long, and, you know, giving them everything I got. You know, I don't think it took a rocket scientist to see, you know, when I was on the field, that I was giving max effort, you know, with everything that I did. You know, so I feel like that is, you know, respected by the fans, and, you know, these fans that been fans for 30, 40, you know, 40 years, and, you know, passing season tickets down to their families, you know, that's what they want to see, you know, and I feel like I provided that for 10 years.
Adrian, whatever you're able to accomplish in New Orleans or even beyond that, perhaps, how do you think you'll look back on the 10 years in Minnesota? Do you think you left anything on the table here?
No, I didn't leave anything on the table. You know, I gave it my all. You know, with everything that I did, you know, and just a prime example of that is last year. You know, let me just kind of just so you can kind of fully grasp and understand how it was for me last year. You know, like last year I tore my meniscus. You know, I tore 90% of my meniscus, and all the advice that I was getting was to, if you cut this out, then you will be bone on bone. If you have surgery and to repair it, it's still a 50% chance that the meniscus doesn't heal, you know. So, of course, I said, you know what? Well, I believe in a higher power, so I'm going to get it repaired. And so I went through the surgery and got repaired, and it was a 6 to 8 month recovery. So the talks from everyone within the team was like, well, you can start your rehab and you can get ready to come back during OTAs, you know, the mini camp, depending on the healing process. That's what they were telling me. And I was like, no, I believe in a higher power, so, and I want to get out there and help my team win, so I'm going to get the meniscus surgery, I'm going to get the meniscus repaired, and, you know, I'm going to call the people that I know You know, whether it was the blood flow restriction therapy, whether it was the hyperbaric chamber, whether it was the stem cells that I was able to get done, or the ozone therapy that I did, and this all came out of my pocket, you know, and I was doing this every week, spending $10,000 a week to come back, to get out there in hopes of us, you know, making it into the playoffs, which would ultimately give us a chance to win a Super Bowl. You know, that's what I had my mindset on when everyone else was telling me something totally different. And when it came around, week 14, I was in a position to do that. You know, I initially came out week 14, that Wednesday and Thursday, that Thursday and Friday, to just practice and get ready for the game that following week against Green Bay, because I was out. Those were my first 2 days of practice since week one. First 2 days of doing any football since week one. So I felt good. I looked good those 2 days, and I decided to go out and play. And I came out and played. You know, unfortunately, I had an adductor that bothered me and just kind of hindered me a little bit that Sunday, and wasn't able to go that following week. But, you know, that right there is the type of – that's what I gave to the state of Minnesota and to the Vikings organization. You know, I didn't sit back and say, you know what, hey, I'm going to just collect a check. You know, I was fighting. Hey, no, put me on the injury reserve to return, you know. That's what I want you to put me on. I don't want to sit back. I don't want to go back to Houston and just relax and collect money and, you know, just be satisfied with that, because I can, because the doctor is saying that this is going to be a 6 to 8 month recovery, you know. So I feel like that's a perfect example of what I gave to my team, the organization, and I feel that's why the state of Minnesota and all my fans respect me and have so much love for me.
Adrian, you were pretty open about realizing at the end of last year that it could be the final season here. But when they did decide to not pick up your option, was there still sort of a sense of, I don't know, ego blow or anything like that that you had to go through?
No ego blow or anything like that. You know, honestly, I knew what was going on. You know, obviously knew they were not going to pick up $18 million. And even in the midst of all the, he went to the Vikings and he requested $8 to $9 million, you know, or just that and other. Like, that never was said. You know, I never requested that. I talked to the Vikings twice during the whole process. I talked to them twice. Once was at exit meetings when I talked to Rick and our owner, and the next time that I spoke to anyone from the Vikings about any type of contract or any type of talks was never. But I got the call saying that they were going to sign Murray, and I was okay with that. You know, the situation where we both knew kind of where we were. You know, the season didn't end the way that we wanted it to end. You know, things didn't happen the way that a lot of people wanted to happen that week 15 and 16. And, you know, it was a lot of people were on edge, you know. And, you know, so, no, it was no ego blow for me, you know, because in my mind, that story I just gave you a few minutes ago, that's what I decided to do, to come back to help this team in any way that I could have, you know. So, for me to have that exit meeting, and then the next time I talked to him, I was getting a call at 1 o'clock in the morning saying that, hey, we're signing Latavius Murray, that's no ego blow for me. You know, that's, you know, for me, that's motivation. Like, okay, well, congratulations. You know, now I can move on and you know, take my ability somewhere else.
What'd you think when the schedule came out and you saw Vikings' first game?
It was a coincidence, you know. I'm like, okay, I'm sure it was some inner workings done to make that happen. But I was excited, you know, to be able to come back first game of the season, you know, playing your old team. You know, so it was a little extra icing on the cake.
You stayed away from the jambalaya?
It's been hard. I can tell you that. It's really been hard to stay away from it, man. It's some really good food down here.
Adrian, what's it like playing with Drew Brees?
It's incredible, man. He's you know, I see why he has had the type of success, you know, throughout his career. You know, he's a hard worker. You know, he's determined and focused and the ultimate competitor, you know. Like, you mess up on something, he'll give you, like, he's not going to talk bad to you or anything unless you keep messing up. And he'll, you know, you'll hear him kind of, you know, yell at a couple guys, but he'll give you a look that'll make you tighten up real quick. Like, hey, you need to get that together, you know. But that's just the type of fierce competitor that he is, you know, and the way that he's able to, you know, orchestrate this and run this offense is incredible. You know, you're not finding, you know, a rookie quarterback or yet alone quarterback being there for a couple of years that's going to be able to do the things that Drew Brees does. You know, he's definitely one of those, you know, one in a generation type quarterbacks, man. He's definitely unique.
Adrian, you left big shoes here, and obviously the attention on Monday night is going to be on both backfields. What do you see when you look at a guy like Dalvin Cook? I mean, obviously where you're at in your career, he's just starting out. I mean, how high is the ceiling for a guy like that, and just kind of what, you know, what you've laid the groundwork for here for him?
I think the sky's the limit for him. You know, I've obviously watched him at Florida State and seeing that he has great ability. And seeing a couple glimpses of him during the preseason as well, you know, I feel like his potential is, you know, to the sky. You know, I think he has, you know, good vision. You know, he's really quick, explosive. You know, a good out receiving back as well. You know, so with the offense that the Vikings are exploring now, you know, I feel like he will fit in very well. You know, so. You know, he's a smaller guy, but he's tough. You know, I've been able to see that about him as well. So, you know, I wish him nothing but the best and nothing but success, you know. But on Monday night, I'm not, you know, I need him to have, you know, negative yards, you know.
Hey, Adrian, how have you adjusted to being in a running back rotation?
It's an adjustment, you know, and I think it'll be an adjustment for a couple weeks going in. You know, because I'm used to being in there, you know, at all times. But, you know, I'm able to sit back and look and see what we have and say, hey, you know, Mark Ingram is a heck of a back. And, you know, this young back that we got, Alvin Kamara, you know, I know for sure he's you know, top one or two backs that came out of this draft for sure. You know, just being around this guy and what he's able to do, especially in the pass game, you know, he's a very explosive guy. As well, and then, you know, you think about New Orleans and the type of offense, you know, I knew what I was getting myself into. So, you know, I know there's going to be times where, you know, I carry the load, you know, and there might be times where, you know, it's not the load is not as heavy, you know. So, you know, as long as we're doing things the right way, you know, and we're being smart and we're taking advantage of, you know, what defense presents to us, you know. So if that's running the ball more, then we need to run the ball more. If that's, hey, the run is not really going right now, so, you know, we need to, you know, depend on Drew, then, hey, let's do that, you know. So as long as this, you know, everything is transparent and, you know, we're winning and we're doing things the right way, you know, I have no complaints.
Adrian, going back to last year, was there any scenario that was presented to you to be able to get back quicker, whether it was doing the meniscus trim? Was that ever presented as an option, or was that not something that would have worked for you?
Yeah, no, that was something that wouldn't work because 90% of it was torn, you know, so it wasn't like it was just like 10% of the meniscus that you can kind of trim it and then be out 2 to 3 weeks. Like, that wasn't an option for me. The only two options I had was cut 90% of your meniscus out, and then I don't know how long it's going to take, but you'll be bone on bone eventually. I'm like, no, there's no way I'm doing that. You know, I got 5-6 more years left. You know, it could be a month, you're saying? Or it could be a year. No, I'm not leaving it up to that, you know? So that wasn't an option. Cutting 90% of my cushion, my knees, my lower body, you know, my legs were my avocation, you know? So that wasn't an option at all. The only option that I had that made sense was to get the meniscus repaired and do everything I could do possibly to help with the healing process, because the meniscus doesn't have any blood that flows to it. Now, luckily for me, it tore, the 90% of it tore at the very edge, close to the bone, and that's the only area that has a little bit of blood supply, you know, so that was a fortunate thing that happened, and it turned out well. You know, I had the surgery and came back.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man.
All right. Take it easy.
You too.
See you Monday.